Have you been hitting the books and listening to lectures all day? It's time to relax, to unwind, and listen up. This is Brooke from Campus Chronicles, your go-to podcast for everything student life. No matter where you are in your academic journey, we have you covered. Think of us as a trusted mentor, friend, and confidant who always has your back. We'll be sharing inspiring stories, thought-provoking insights, and practical advice to help you succeed in and out of the classroom. So get ready to be inspired, enlightened, and entertained. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited for you to meet this wonderful guest that we have. Her name is Caroline West, and she is from Carol Louise Arts. Caroline, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
I'm so excited to have you and you guys. Caroline has the most beautiful curly hair. So we've been admiring our curly girl conversation. But before we dive into all of the incredible expertise that you have, give us a little bit of an insight into your origin story and who you are.
Okay, yes. So I am an artist from the south of England. And as well as art, one of my other passions is sustainability. So I'm always looking for ways to combine the two. So I've started painting on things that you do normally consider waste and would decay or you would throw away. Like I paint on used tea bags, I paint on crisp packets, preserved leaves, pallet wood. So just anything that would normally be considered waste, I like to repurpose in something beautiful.
That is incredible. I just made myself some tea this morning. So you paint on tea bags?
I do. Yes, I am. I dry them out after use, scrape all the leaves out. And then I think we're probably like one of the only households probably in the world where my husband will ask what I'm doing. And I'm like, well, I'm ironing tea bags. Ready?
I love that. So you have two distinct passions, the art and the sustainability. How did you get started in both?
So I've always been creative ever since I was very young. I used to love painting, drawing, but I think then you just sort of, you move on a bit, don't you? You get married, you have your kids, you get your regular job.
And you tell yourself that art is a waste of time.
It's just a hobby. You're never going to make money of it. It's not so. And then about 2.5 years ago, I suffered burnout in my job of 20 years. And I just started thinking about what really brought me joy and passion. So that led to me quitting my job and pursuing a career in art.
Amazing. And where does the sustainability come in for you? When did it come in?
I think it's something I've always been really passionate about. I'm always looking for ways I can just incorporate into my daily lifestyle. Just, you know, it's just really thinking about, we're such a throwaway society. It's just thinking about what we use, how we use it, how we could reuse or repurpose. So it's something I've always used in my daily life. And then I just started thinking about how I could also incorporate it into my art.
Mm-hmm. For you, does sustainability go beyond the arts? And if so, how?
Yeah, it goes into all aspects of my life. we're also a vegan household, so I think it just trickles over into everything. Sort of, it's just thinking about what you can do, I think, in your little corner of the world, just taking responsibility for yourself and your actions, you know, what you throw away. We try and reuse things as much as possible and repurpose them just sort of in our household and in our daily lives.
Mm-hmm. And that is such a good point, because I think with the sustainability conversation in particular, it's easy to think I'm only a small portion of the problem. I don't matter, or my actions or my effort isn't enough to move the needle or change things.
I think that's something that's easy to think. But then if everybody just took responsibility, I'd say, for their own little corner of the world and did it, it would make a massive difference. You know, I'm not out to change the whole world. I just want to make my corner of it a more beautiful, sustainable place in line with what I believe in.
I love that. So we're talking to university students who, as we all know, are on limited time, limited budget, and sometimes limited space. We have two distinct areas of conversation here. So we can go down the art one or the sustainability one, but let's go down sustainability first. What sustainability tips would you give students?
I think the first one, especially with students being on a budget, is just really thinking about what you're buying, because your purchase is power. You know, if you're not...
Oh, that is such a good quote.
Your purchase is power. You know, that's another way of making a statement. If you're not spending the money on things, there's not going to be the demand. So therefore, we're not going to be wasting resources. It's just looking at a different way of doing things, buying things from thrift shops, or we call them charity shops here. We have Car Boots, where you buy secondhand clothes. You've got Vinted, that's a massive thing. You know, it's just thinking about how could how could I get things a different way, a cheaper way, a reused way? And also you can swap with people. You don't have to own everything. We're in the society, I knew my dogs would do that. We're in the society where you think like you have to own things, but you don't. You could swap with someone, borrow something. You know, you don't have to own all the stuff all the time, basically.
That is a really good point, because I think it's easy to equate obtaining material possessions with I've made it, or I'm Instagrammable now. I'm good enough for social media.
Yeah, I think especially with the younger generation these days, I think it's such a pressure to keep up with everything. You see all these amazing lives and amazing things on Instagram or whatever, and you just want to keep up with it. But you know, it's not always all what it looks like. And there is another way of doing things, I think, definitely.
Absolutely. And that kind of brings me to what I think is interesting too about Instagram is so often those people don't own those clothes. So there is a lot of high-end different types of retailers where you can rent specific sorts of outfits for an Instagram post or for a specific event. And one time I remember talking to someone, she had the most beautiful wardrobe, or so I had thought. And she goes, I don't own any of that. That's rented. And it's important to remember renting, thrifting, as Caroline has mentioned, all of that is an option, even if you are a fashionista.
Yeah, oh, you can find amazing things. And also, I think you find things in a thrift shop or secondhand, and quite often it's things other people don't have. I do think that it's opened up a lot more now. And, you know, there's a lot of things on Instagram and Facebook, isn't there, about people thrifting and doing their homes like thrifted style and that. So it is quite a big movement now. And I just think that's amazing. And you don't have to change things every 5 seconds either.
It doesn't make you more of a human. So what other tips have you incorporated into your life that you found very helpful for sustainability that you think could be helpful for students?
I think things like batch cooking. I know it always sounds very boring, but just batch cooking so that you've always got sort of healthy meals put by, you know, and you can use cheaper ingredients and make sort of large amounts of meals and put those by. It's just reusing things in different ways, you know, sort of we cut up old clothes or old sheets for rags, which I use a lot in my art. Just reusing packaging, just anything that you think could serve another purpose. And there's so many amazing sites and videos and all sorts of things out there with loads of tips that you can pick up. Making your own, sort of, we make quite a lot of our own cleaning products that work out cheaper, better for the environment, so you haven't got all the chemicals. So yeah, just lots of different things.
I have an interesting question, Caroline. What was the very first sustainable piece of art you did? What did you paint or make art on?
The very first thing would be pallet wood. So, you know, when you have deliveries, they come on those wooden pallets. When we're out and about, my husband and I, sort of, if we see sort of them like lying around or if they're someone's gone, we'll ask if we can take them and then bring them home. My husband splits them up and then makes them into canvases for me. So I paint on those.
How did you feel the first time knowing that your art was sustainable?
For me, art is something that is very personal and meaningful, and it just makes it more meaningful because I feel like it's in line with my beliefs and it feels really authentic to me.
On the belief train of thought, I think that's a really, really good way to segue into the art conversation. Art is so powerful, but like we mentioned before, it's easy to shove it to the wayside and say, oh, no, it's not important enough today. And you mentioned finding your way back to art. For students who are busy and their time is being pulled in a million different directions, what would you say to them about art?
For me personally, art has been a way of being mindful and just taking a break from the busyness of everyday life. It's sort of when you're in it, you're in the flow. You know, I'm not thinking about anything else. And when I suffered burnout, it really helped me reconnect with myself. Just take a break from the hustle and bustle. We're so busy sort of rushing around all the time, trying to do everything. We never, ever take a moment to pause, take a moment just to enjoy the beauty of the world around us or to express ourselves. And for me, art does all those things.
And for students who might say, well, I'm going to do art when I'm older, I'm going to do art when my exams are over, what would you say about how art helps you to connect to yourself?
It's really easy to get sucked into the hustle and the busyness. And there are a million and one things to do. I mean, I've been there as a student and you have deadlines and you have all this stuff to do. But equally, taking those moments for yourself, even if it's just 10, 15 minutes where you can do something that takes you out of your mind and into your body and into yourself is, you know, I think it's really important. I think it's vital. You need those breaks. You need that rest just to reconnect with yourself, just to sort of enable yourself. I think it will enable you to work better. I think we don't really prioritize rest or mindfulness, but I think it's such an important part of life. And I think long-term, especially, it's something that really helps you.
It's crucial for students that might want to get started with art or different sorts of art in a budget-friendly way. What's your advice? Walk us through that.
You don't have to spend loads of money on it. When I started again, I didn't. You can buy cheap paintbrushes or, even better, find some in a thrift store.
Then you can have a sustainable paintbrush and you can have an art supplies. It's a win-win, guys.
It's a win-win. And you don't have to go out and buy loads of expensive cans. I mean, I'll say I paint on wood. I dry out leaves and paint on them. You know, you can just paint on cardboard, paper. You don't have to have really expensive brushes or paints or anything when you're starting out. I would just start out as cheaply as possible and then just go from there. And if it's something you love, eventually you might invest a little bit more in it.
Mm-hmm. For so many people, myself included, getting over the initial hurdle of this is silly or I'm not a good artist or I don't know what to do is tough.
It certainly is. I mean, I teach art classes as well. And the first thing I always say to my students is that it is process over product. It doesn't matter what it looks like at the end. It's just about enjoying the process of doing it, losing yourself in the joy of painting and in the fact that you're not thinking about anything else. And sometimes, I mean, I paint things and they don't turn out how I thought they would, but it doesn't matter. And no two pieces are going to look the same. It's your own self-expression. So it's literally about enjoying it.
You have so many great quotes. What you just said there was so great as well.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I say process over product, but I can still get really annoyed when it doesn't go right.
So. No, I think that's a really interesting point, though, is that sometimes we don't enjoy the process of our life. And I think art does give us an opportunity to reflect on what sort of feelings we're having that we may have not verbalized or expressed.
Absolutely. I mean, even if you're having a really bad day, whack up a massive piece of paper and just fling a load of paint at it. Doesn't matter what it looks like, doesn't matter what happens. It's just getting that emotion out. I think it can be a useful way of expressing yourself.
Do you see that in your students a lot?
I definitely see, it's just encouraging them to sort of see that you don't have to be the world's best artist. And they'll be, oh, it doesn't look like yours. I'm like, but it's not going to because you're not me. You know, and equally, I've been painting for several years. I mean, my paintings now don't look anything like when I started up again. And it's just about getting that confidence and knowing you can do it, but it doesn't matter. It's just enjoying the process. I really can't emphasize that enough.
I want to return back to a quote that you said earlier, and I would love you to expand on it. You said your purchase is power. For those that don't understand that concept, or maybe this is the first time they're hearing that, can you expand on that for us?
Yes, of course. I just believe, obviously, as consumers, we do hold a lot of power. If you're not spending your money on things and people aren't buying them, then they're not going to be produced. So a way of exercising your power is by making the choices not to buy those things that we feel maybe aren't quite right, don't align with us. I mean, I always tend to look at companies I'm buying from, see what their ethics are, see how sustainable they are. So I can make a choice to use my purchase power for things that I believe in, things that I believe are good for the planet and things I think are sustainable. So that is a way of using your buying power to support companies who support what you believe in.
Mm-hmm. How does somebody research that if they've never done it before?
I do a lot of research on Google.
On Google, that's a very good place to go. I too like Google.
I Google everything. Yeah.
And so what sort of things do you look up to learn more about their ethics, their policies?
Well, things like, if I'm buying any products for the house or sort of personal care, I will always look up to see if they test on animals because I don't use anything tested on animals. I always tend to look at what their ethos is, how they work sustainably, how they treat their workforce, obviously, you know, where it comes from. I mean, a lot of stuff comes from China and other places now where maybe workers aren't treated sort of as fairly as they would be in other countries. So it's just doing your research and looking up. I just think looking up their policies and so I suppose, again, it's about what's important to you. Things that are important to me are animal cruelty and obviously workforce and things like that.
And hopefully those are important to everyone. I would hope so. That leads us into an important conversation, though, about fast fashion, because that is the one industry I think so many people are like, realizing and coming to the understanding that fashion is a great source of waste. And not only is it a great source of waste, it is a great source of just the things that you mentioned, you know, workers not always being treated fairly, being underpaid, those sort of things.
It's horrendous. I do understand it. It's very hard to balance, especially if you don't have a lot of money, if you're on a budget and you've got all these companies, the clothing is so cheap. So I do understand that. But I say there are other ways of doing it. You can go to a thrift store. I mean, you can go on companies like Vinted and they have a lot of the stuff there that's secondhand that you can buy. So you can still do it on a budget. But yeah, these big companies, they just churn things out. I mean, all the time, isn't it? It's just so constantly changing. And most of it just ends up piled up in landfill somewhere.
And that's so dangerous, not only for the planet, but for us, because when we turn, in my opinion, when we kind of turn a blind eye to injustice or suffering, that leaves us without a way to express ourselves and without a way to really feel empathy and kindness towards other people. And that's probably what art does so well, is allow you to feel again, because we live in a very numb society.
We do. I think we're disconnected from ourselves. We're so disconnected from others a lot of the time as well. And I just think that particularly art, well, any of the arts, art, music, anything like that, is a real way of connecting again. So that's why I feel it's so important.
Can you share some of those connection stories with us? Do you have any special stories?
Yeah, I mean, some of my art, like I paint things, I've had people sort of send me things that they would like me to paint because they have special memories for them. I recently painted some landmark in England where someone had proposed to their girlfriend. So they wanted like the place painted just as to give to her as a memory.
That is so cute.
Lovely. Just things like that. I've had, yeah, people love sort of paintings of things that bring up special memories for them. So yeah, I think that, and that's a way of connecting, definitely.
And people, when you're teaching art classes, do you find them connecting too?
Yes, I tend to keep my art classes quite small, and sort of, we're kind of like a little painting family. It's lovely. So we sort of get to know each other and you have conversations. And that's just a way of, yeah, just as another way of building a connection in a community.
Mm-hmm. Community is so important in a world that no longer prioritizes that. How do you think art helps you not only find yourself, but find your people?
I think the more you sort of, you get into art and then you end up joining groups, or you can say on Facebook or somewhere. And then I've connected with lots of people through there, like-minded people. And then you expand that connection that way. So yeah, you definitely end up sort of finding your tribe, I guess.
Well, finding your tribe is so important in a world that, like, as we mentioned, can be kind of numb or not so inviting. Finding your tribe is really the path to being the authentic, fully aligned human that everybody wants to be. And it's so important to choose your friends and your people and your world carefully.
Oh my goodness. Do you know, that's something I've really learned the hard way, I think, again, through my burnout. You really need to just surround yourself with the people who lift you up, who support you, who make you feel good about yourself. You want to be with radiators and not drains.
I love your little quotes. Now, Caroline, I'm going to ask you a tough question. If you were going to give three pieces of advice to university students, they can be related to art and sustainability, but they really don't have to be. What would those three pieces of advice be?
My first would be to always be authentically yourself. I know how hard it is to do that, because for years I wasn't. But the moment you start connecting authentically with yourself and what brings you joy, so many opportunities and life opens up for you. I think my second one would be, it really doesn't matter what people think, because no one is ever thinking about you as much as you think they are.
Yes, you guys, I have to tell you from personal experience, as someone who thought that, no one even thought about me.
Nobody cares, really. They're too busy thinking about themselves. And I think the third one, as a chronic people pleaser for most of my life, I've learned that, you know what? You can't please all the people all of the time. You don't like everyone in the world. Not everyone in the world is going to like you. And that's okay. As long as you're yourself, you'll choose yourself and you like yourself, that is all that matters.
I love that. Now, you've had so many nuggets and gems of wisdom, so many great things. Are there quotes that you live your life by? And if so, which ones?
One of my favorite ones at the moment is, your decisions today define your tomorrows. I really like that one. I just think it's really important making choices every day. You know, the choices you make, they do lead to what happens in your life. Well, for me, it's certainly been true. So yeah, I think that's one. And now I've gone blank and can't think of any others.
Well, I'll add one for you. Your purchases power, I think, is really good. And it's a great way to empower yourself in a world that feels, as we've mentioned, numb and draining, knowing that you can make a difference with this way that you choose to consume and spend. I love that quote by you.
Oh, thank you so much. I do. I think quite often you do feel powerless and like you don't have any control, but you always have control over yourself and your actions and how you think. So that is always yours that can never be taken away from you. And you can use that in all your choices in daily life.
There was another quote by Caroline, you always have control of your actions and how you think. I love it. I love it. Now, Caroline, if someone loves you like I do and they want to learn more about you, where can they go?
They can connect with me. I'm on Facebook and Instagram, and I also have a website where I sell my art as well.
Amazing. Now, is there anything that you were really hoping to say or share that we haven't got to yet? As we wrap up, do you have any closing words?
Pushing out of your comfort zone and facing your fears has opened up so many opportunities for me. It's, you know, it's a scary world out there, and doing things that you find scary are hard. It's easier. Your brain will just tell you to stay where you are because it's safe. And it's really hard, but you just have, if you try and push past those fears and go for it, honestly, life just opens up for you.
Oh my goodness. I love that, Caroline. And I've loved our conversation. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.